just like to talk in general about your experience. Now, you said in this letter that you went to work in the morning.
Yeah.
Now, what time did you leave?
Oh, probably around 6:30 or so.
I see.
We went to work at 7:00.
Mm-hmm. And where did you work? Socolo?
Socolo in Biddeford.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. And you were at home?
Mm-hmm.
And your husband. You were high school.
No, I was the telephone company. I graduated in June.
I see.
And I was a telephone operator. But I was working the night shifts, so and I was sleeping. My father was there.
And so you were at the house when the fire came through?
Yeah. It's a gas. They were taking out what they bought, a new refrigerator and a new couch. So
yeah, when I speak about it, my son, Richard, he says, the house went like this.
Went quickly.
And they were taking stuff
out. It went right over the house. All it went to the top of a couple
it just
trees.
It blew.
The house exploded.
Yeah, well, it was so hit, the fire was coming down. It was like a train rolling down. And we went out to start the car, and it was slow starting, but if the car never stopped, we would have blown too. Because he got the refrigerator and the new couch and stuff out of the lawn, but it just swept right through. There was nothing like that.
Well,
I had a cat in there. Brother had his dog in there. We didn't say anything.
Oh, you lost your cats.
Then we moved down to my uncle's at Goose Rock Street, up on the hill there.
Then
we burned out the second day.
Let's go back to your house first. How did you know that it was coming? Did someone come to the door and warn you? Or?
Yeah.
They had told us before to get out of there.
Huh?
People had come by. They told us the fire was close by.
And nobody stopped to help, though.
Huh?
No one stopped to help.
Not to help, but they said the fire, and you could hear it. It was the roar, and it was sounding like a train coming. It was just a roar.
So what did you got in the car and drove away from the house?
Well, I was trying to get my father and, who was there, Richard and my father, and somebody else was
Orson bringing, Davis.
Yeah, were bringing the stuff, and I was trying to get him out. I brought the personal, you know, all the, I brought a pair of coats, so I saved that,
mm-hmm.
And I brought the box of pictures and all the papers and things, you know, personal papers and deeds. Stuff like that was all in the box. I saved the radio and a fresh coat. I put all that stuff in the car, but they were putting the big stuff in the lawn.
You see, that came from the side of the house, and not where we was looking for it, with the bat.
It came right through from the bat. You could hear the roaring, and you could see the smoke.
Oh, then it hit the pasture.
But you could tell it was near, and people were saying that it was hitting up the Proctor Road. Somebody stopped and said, you better go. And I kept telling Dad, let's go. And he kept trying to get, I didn't think I was going to ever get him out of there. Finally, at the last minute, I got him in the car. And I was driving. I had the car started. I called him to get in the car. And we just got over the road by, what's the name over there? Robinson. What's the next one?
Robinson.
No, the next house on the left.
Oh, I forgot.
We were in front of their house and we looked back and the house, it didn't burn. It just, the combustion, you know, from the heat and everything, the house just flew apart. And then it swept right straight down. We kept going. Then we went down to...
Had your neighbors gone?
I don't know much about the neighbors.
It's gone. Next door had gone to work,
too. They were going to work. They didn't lose their house. Their house had been
there. No, I told her in my letter.
It went right straight through us.
Your husband helped save that one.
Yeah, well, you see, he had emphysema so bad that he wasn't able to help anywhere very much. Down to John's... when they were trying to save his cottage, he just lay on the ground. That's the only place he could get any air.
The smoke must have bothered him.
The air was about this.
But he stayed there. But that's the only. He didn't help much. But he.
Well, now, so they told you you had to go home, and you came home around 8:00.
Yeah.
And you didn't know anything about this till you drove up. Sorry.
They told me that the boss told me, I didn't say it, the letter, I guess, that my son wanted me in this hall. Up to Biddeford. Well, I couldn't understand that. I had just left him home, and I didn't know why he would be up there. But that's what the boss told me, because my house was already burned. And he didn't want to say anything about it.
Right.
That was just about an hour after I started work.
Mm-hmm. And the man who brought you home,
John Henchy.
His wife was your husband's stepsister?
Yes.
I see. So there was a family connection there.
Well, of course, my husband's father married her mother, and they were late in life, so that there wasn't really any blood relation.
Mm-hmm. Well, now when you got home, the house was burned and you people were gone.
Yeah. So everything was so quiet.
Nobody around. Must have been weird.
Just the two chimneys standing, and then they was burning rubbish, burning, and nobody around.
You didn't know where they were?
No, I did. I suppose I didn't think about it, but when I looked down the next house, and I guess I saw them there and thought that's where they were.
So you had stayed in the area?
I don't remember what we did. All I remember is that made an impression on me. We were over there and we looked back. And I don't remember what we did after. She remembers more than I do. I remember looking and seeing the house go like that. We just got out. How close a call we were, because I couldn't get my father to leave the place.
Yeah,
so he was going to save everything in the lawn, but didn't know when he could put it in the lawn. He just switched right through what they put in the lawn.
The policeman had to slap you to get you out of your hysterics, like. You kind of went to pieces.
I was so afraid for your father.
Yeah,
because he wasn't moving, and I just knew this was, I don't know what made me know that it was dangerous. I just knew it was. We were all going to get killed if he didn't move, but I couldn't get him to move. I had what stuff in the car. Really, I was doing the stuff, he was moving big furniture and stuff like that, and I was putting personal papers and important things in the car. Well, I had that all in the car.
They were trying to get the big refrigerator,
and they just bought the big chair, yeah.
But they couldn't get it out.
But I don't remember after that.
So then you went to Goose Rocks with...
Yes. And did you go with us?
I don't remember anything after that. After driving over
yeah,
there,
you must have driven the car. We went in our car down to Goose Rocks.
I drove the car down on the point and left it, and I don't know where they were then. They were over saving
and
the house. We ended up in the ocean.
After we got down there, it's about 4 miles away, we asked Richard where his dog was. He didn't know. He just thought of it. He started walking all the way back, and he never found the dog. I think it was burned up in the house. He never found. And then he left. He had a workshop out in back. He made beautiful things, but he tried to save what he could, like the lathe. But he didn't have time. But he picked up a big box of new tools he just brought, and he took them down to Goose Rocks, and we left them there in the room. They burned.
What we saved from the first, he lost.
You were just bedeviled by that fire. It seems as though it followed you. Everywhere.
Yeah.
We were in the ocean and the fire was coming across. And everything was burning on the beach. And we were in the ocean. I thought it was the end of the world. My aunt was up on the beach praying and we were in the water. We were trying to get her into the water because the fire was, you know, it was about that much that we could lay down. My mother's
you got these fire. Papers.
But we were in the water and we had to get her in the water to get wet because the cinders were going right out that it caught Timber Island on fire.
The air was full of them?
Yeah. It looked like the end of the world. There was nothing but fire and smoke. We didn't know where we were.
When you went to Goose Rocks, you had no idea the fire was going to come there also.
Oh.
Did you?
I told you I had a feeling. Well, as I said in my letter there, after we left Guinea Road, there was no sign of the fire. But 2 or 3 hours later, so many houses along the road, that is, that comes from Fortune's Rocks in Biddeford and goes over to Goose Rocks. They burned, like Mrs. Campbell's, you know where that is? Mm-hmm. Her house burned and one on the other side of the road, and then going down to Goose Rocks, and then it struck Goose Rocks, and then it...
Now, what part of the beach at Goose Rocks was the Henschley's house on? Where were you? Were you near the Biddeford end?
Yes.
It's right out on the point.
As I said in that letter there, it was on the left-hand side of the road going into Goose Rocks, mm-hmm. the highway that comes from Biddeford. Mm-hmm. That was a little ways away from the road on a hill. Mm-hmm. And then down below.
By the little river, you know.
If you
go down and then you're dead end, then you go left. And Uncle John used to be the only house up there. It was a big house up there. It was Emmons' house, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was belonged to Emmons' estate.
And you said you had a good meal there that night.
She remembers that.
That day, that noontime.
That noontime, you had a good meal.
That night the house was gone.
Yeah, we what we had left was a Well, that ain't fricassee chicken like. It was put in the oven and biscuit. All of those biscuits were out of the world. Mm-hmm. And we thought, and we had enough for supper. But, of course, we never eat supper.
How were your spirits? I mean, I'm sure it's obvious. Anyone's lost their home, they're terribly upset. But, you know, I talk to people, and, of course, it's been 30 years.
Shock,
but they don't, not many have expressed to me how they felt about losing their home.
No, it was an old house. And ours was, we never could understand where ours was the only house in that vicinity that burned. You know, the night before, although I didn't know at the time, the Thompson's farm is set back a little ways from the West Street. That burned in the night. And I've always thought, though I never heard anyone else say it, that something from that fire went across the open fields to the Proctor Road and then hit our house. You ever thought of that?
I don't know where it came from. It didn't hit houses on either side. We were the only
one.
It saved all the Oak Ridge was on. They didn't get burned.
Yes, and Arlene, one of the few Biddeford houses.
What?
Yours was one of the few Biddeford houses.
Yeah, that other one was on West Street. And then, and I thought that the fire went across to the field, across the road. That wasn't our field. Our field was up there where Ruth drove the car down. And I have often thought, but I'm not sure of this, maybe you do, that fire went across the field somehow and destroyed, that was the one that destroyed Ruth's house and her sister Mildred's across the road. Mm-hmm. I asked her last night, she came up to see me this evening, Kamala. Mm-hmm. She's an old-time friend of mine. And she said that the fire came from two directions. But I thought after it left there, one part went to Cape Porpoise and one to in back of the Clark farm. Mm-hmm. And burned everything in its way down to Goose Rock. The back of Goose Rock.
People were setting fires, though, at that time. They were setting. They'd get one fire out and somebody had set another one. In front of the back of the Clark farm, they said somebody set that one.
They never proved arson anywhere.
At the time, they were saying some of them had to be set, but they were so, you know, they'd get one and it would come out in another area. Like up on the Route 1, that was all fire, too. Along the route, they didn't know how it would get. You know, it was the fire would be out. They'd get one area out, and it'd pop up.
Well, it was burning underground. That's one of.
That's what I was going to say. It burned underground and then came up,
and then
in where they weren't looking for.
That's right, and also the cinders were affected.
Oh yeah.
So you were at Goose Rocks, and you had your dinner, and then.
You've probably seen like that. That's in several papers.
Yes, that's where I first heard about your story. This is the journal, right? Yeah. I've read that online.
You've read all those.
The Boston papers.
Oh,
and that
the
too.
Boston.
The Boston papers. I'm interested in because I haven't hit all of
them. And Richard, my brother, was almost up there to that. Is that one?
About what time of the afternoon did it come through the Goose Rocks house?
I thought about 2 o'clock.
And, because you told me a lot about this in your letter, I wanted to ask you about going into the water. I suppose because all around you there was fire and it didn't seem safe to stay in
the place to go. No place to go off. And as far as the river is concerned.
You went into Little River or into the ocean?
Ocean. After that, you know, there's the marsh grass, you know, and the fire did go through that to the river, but it didn't hurt anything then.
Well, we started over by Little River. That's where we went in over there.
I don't remember where we went in.
I packed the car out on the point and left the car. Couldn't go anywhere else with the car, but somebody had taken the car and drove it out of there.
Yeah, one of the car. They were building.
I don't know who got the car.
You left the keys in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they thought the car, it wasn't going to be stolen. It was on the end there. I don't know who picked it up.
One of the carpenters working on John's house. He was building a cottage. and that cottage burned. But another cottage didn't burn.
Now, where were your husband and John when you people went into the shelter?
They were trying to save that cottage. It was at the foot of the hill, John's cottage.
Why did we separate from them?
Huh? Because they stayed behind to help John.
Did they send us on?
Hmm?
Why did we leave them? I don't remember that stuff.
Well, they saved that cottage.
Yeah, but why did we leave? Where were we going? Why didn't we stay with them?
Well, we wouldn't have been any good.
But where were we going? What was our idea? I don't know why we ended in the river.
You get out away from the fire, I guess. And the river
was... We didn't know where they were at that time.
The river...
They were probably burnt.
The river was the ocean was the only place where the fire wasn't really.
Did you see other people in the ocean?
No, we didn't. No, I've thought... When we were walking in the water... No, there wasn't anyone else. When we were walking in the water, ahead of us on the beach, quite a ways ahead of us, was a little old lady. All she had was a handbag in her hand. And when I saw Laura the next day, I asked her about it. She told me who the old lady was. And her house was one that was burning there at Goose Rocks on the highway. And she
was on fire. Every one of those houses was on fire. The further we walked, we couldn't get away because they were all burning. And there was no way out of the ocean. We kept walking up, you know, towards the other way.
Till we found a house where there wasn't.
Somebody came down and saved us, didn't they? With the Red Cross.
Oh, yes, the Red Cross. But I say, now that old lady, Laura told me who it was, and her house was burning, and she was going across the beach to some friend of hers, the other side of Goose Rocks, where there was the houses weren't burned. And they got in touch with her daughter in New York. And she came on the next day and took her home with her. She was old then.
I don't know whether you know the book, My Love Affair with the State of Maine.
The what?
My Love Affair with the State of Maine. Do you know that book?
One of my, Mary Dawn, that came to visit me last night, she said that had a wonderful story of the fire in it.
It's about the only story about the Goose Rocks fire I've ever read, and it tells about some people who went into the water. And in the book it says that rats, which had lived in the beach grass and in the stone walls, came running out onto the beach.
I didn't see
anything. You didn't see anything like that?
No.
And another woman that I talked with said a lot of animals, small animals like rabbits and squirrels and things like that, were running on the beach. You didn't see anything.
I didn't see it.
We were the only ones that we saw on the beach.
We were the only ones that was in the water. And this old woman is the only one I saw.
Yeah. And we had walked the whole length of the beach. We had to walk the
No, we didn't walk all the way. Didn't you know there was a house about the middle of it? There were houses that weren't burning. We went up on the porch.
It didn't burn up the other end, but we walked as far as the house would
go. Yes, yeah.
And so you were up on the porch of one of these houses and the Red Cross came along?
Yes.
And they took you to Biddeford?
Yes. Yeah. Something else.
They took me back to work. I had to go to the telephone house. I was soaking wet and my dungarees and remember the old black and white. Remember
she had to work in the telephone office.
And they took me to the telephone office and they told us we weren't going to leave that office. It was right down with the journals.
But why her name didn't get in the paper?
Well, I wasn't roaming around like you. I went to work. They took me right up and they said that
you
had a truck ready to
farm.
Evacuate us.
You saw some friends at the clock.
We had to work around the clock because that was the central communication then. They didn't have all these CDs and things. So they put us on the switchboard and they said, you're going to work until we see the fire coming up the street. They had an army truck there ready to evacuate us. And I'd been all through that, and the ocean and everything else in there, and sitting at the switchboard. And it was all lit up. You couldn't possibly take the calls that were coming in. You were just taking what you could. We had such a big switchboard anyway. It was outdated then. It was too big for the town. Mm-hmm. But every light on the switchboard was on. People were calling it. You know, they shouldn't be calling.
You got out of
the clock barn. Calls out,
you got out of Mrs. Dollar's car at the clock.
Well, I don't remember how I got back up the telephone. Those things are blank, but there's things that make an impression. Just when the house blew in the car, and down the water with the fire going over, because I thought that was the end of the world. I was really scared. And then when they took us up to the telephone office, and I don't know how I got up there even, but But they told us we weren't leaving. You're going to stay until the fire hits that building across the street, and then we're taking you out. They impressed it on us. I had enough fire by then. None of those people had been burned out. It had hit me twice that day, so that time I think I was still in shock. Because I didn't want to see the fire come to the building again, and I didn't want to lose my job, so I stayed. But I was scared, and just trying to get, the whole switchboard was lit up, just trying to get, it seems so few, you know, you're answering these calls, but you don't know where the emergencies are. You wouldn't know an emergency there anyway. You're just, you know, number, place, and plugging up. Your whole board is plugged. You've got everything answered, but then the lights are still on. You can't possibly get to it. It was a whole futile thing, and I didn't want to see the fire come across the street to get out. But
tell how me they came down was for the, by it. How they got through was coming down by the clock farm. But I don't know how they, where they went from the clock farm.
I don't even know how I got back uptown. I just remember.
You stopped, you saw friends, and you got out of her car and went with them. That's why your name isn't in the paper.
I went back to work, because I said
when
I
we got
to
the hall, they must be the ones that notified the, you know, they put that in the
paper. Well, I didn't go to the
paper.
Hall at all, did I? You slept at the hall. I didn't go up there.
You didn't go to the hall.
I stayed at the
hall. What about the clock farm? Was that some sort of a center for firefighters and relief and so forth?
I don't think so.
No.
But that was saved. They had hard work saving that. Of course, the fire was in back of there. And then I guess it was in front of there, too. I'm not quite so sure. But all those houses, most of those houses, the clock farm didn't burn.
So, do you remember the ride from the Goose Rocks to Biddeford? Did you see fire along the way, or don't you remember?
No, we went up. I don't know what road we took from the clock farm to get back to Biddeford.
So you went to St. Joseph's Hall, and I think you said you stayed with some friends that night?
Yeah, hey, friends of Ruth's. She did, too.
She was at the
telephone. Harriman's. Harriman's at Five Points.
And then the minister got you an apartment somewhere in Biddeford.
Just around the corner from Five Points, Mr. Foss's.
Couldn't have been in a worse spot as far as the fire's concerned.
Well, fire was
yeah,
gone,
I got out that afternoon, you know, when I saw the smoke coming over the, is it the Greenwood Cemetery? Mm-hmm. That cemetery.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got out, and Ruth took me back to Harriman's. I don't wear no, and Richard stayed behind to wet down the buildings for Mr. Foss was an
well,
old
they,
man.
Well, they all asked after it because they left the country to go back and save the town. And they evacuated the hospital because my husband's aunt had a baby and it was on the third day and everybody sent out of the hospital to quit that day. She had to go home.
Yeah, that was Thursday.
But they went back to
right.
save the city.
That was Thursday.
Yeah. That was the day the hospital, they were going to evacuate the hospital.
That was the day you said, enough, I'm not going to move again.
Yes, I
right.
did. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's like the people in Goodwin's Mills. Goodwin's Mills was threatened. Because all those little towns had been burning flat.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a notice in the newspaper that the people of Goodwin's Mills had announced they were not going to evacuate.
And well,
Fire was everywhere. Everywhere you went, the fire was there.
I think our fire came from the Waterboro, didn't it? The one that threatened. I mean the one that threatened Thursday, the one that threatened Biddeford.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say about John, it burned his barn and it burned the chicken house, but the hen house, but the hens flew right and left.
Is that right?
I don't know whether any of the hens were burned, but they got out of the building so often. It was sort of connected with the barn, the chicken house. So they were running around there.
So they had two houses and they only lost one.
They had one, when he came down that day and he had that lumber in his hand, he was helping the carpenters work on this other cottage. But that was near his house, so that burned. But one at the foot of the hill, where they fought to save, there wasn't any bushes around that. They used that all of the water they had there was, I guess, the toilet. Something in the garage for the carpenters to work on. And they poured water all around the basement. There was no bushes near it. They saved that. Still sandy.
So that's where they were able to live after?
They lived there till they got the new house built.
Now, did the Red Cross help you rebuild?
Yes, they did.
And where did you rebuild? On the same place?
Thing, same lot. We came by there today.
They only had $1,000 worth of insurance.
We didn't have much insurance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Red Cross helped us. And then Miss Perkins? Miss Perkins that lived in Biddeford. I think she was a sort of retired minister. And she helped us so much. She's always calling me that she had, well, cooking thing, material, cooking pans and things.
Because those are all the everyday things that, you know, without.
We lost everything. Well, we lost all our clothes.
She was always called.
Just what we had on our backs is all we saved for clothes.
Huh?
I said we lost all our clothes, too. We didn't have anything. I had a pair of Don Luis on. We didn't save any clothes.
Well, you put a few of the good clothes in them.
I had bought that pair of coat with a piece of coat. I hadn't even paid for it, so I threw that in the car. That's the only thing I saved. I lost all my, like, my school yearbook and all that.
Yes, you lost your yearbook.
All that stuff. Anything that I had is...
And my...
He graduated afterwards, so he had the yearbook.
My marriage license I know burned in the trunk upstairs.
I suppose there were family things, too. But
in that trunk upstairs. Yeah. Yeah, well, there was a lot of things.
We even had all the old love letters still there. We used to get up there.
Yeah. I think that would be so hard to lose that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Red Cross helped you and you rebuilt and you lived back there.
Yes.
And are you nervous about fire and wind and things like that now?
No, I don't think so.
One woman told me whenever the wind comes up, she begins to get nervous.
I think Ruth Stone told me last night that there's some things that people like to forget.
Right.
About the fire. Yeah. But it was always interesting to me. As I told Ruth, I couldn't find anybody to listen to me any longer.
Well, unless you live through it, you don't really feel it. I mean, people are, they kind of bored and hear it.
Well, you know, when the publisher asked me if I would write this book, my first thought was, what's the point of me trying to figure out what it felt like and so forth? There must be people around who went through it who would tell me.
Yeah.
So that's why I have been talking to people, and I'm so glad that I made contact with you. And I forget now what the whole process was, but I finally mentioned it to Bob's sister, and her good friends are the Robinsons, young Lloyd, and his wife said, oh, well, I think my mother knows where Mrs. Emery is, because I've been trying to find you. I'd read about you in the paper.
Yes, I correspond with Annie Robinson.
So then, of course, she gave me your...
Her daughter graduated, too, in that classroom.
Maria
graduated with Richard.
Bob, of course, knew of Richard, but he didn't know where he was. So...
He has 5 children.
Now, where does he live?
Rainham.
I see. You're all down there.
Well, I moved down there with my husband. But it was in the 50s. There was no work around. So we moved down there, and Richard was in the Navy. When he got out of the Navy, he came to live with me. He got a job in Waltham at Raytheon. He still works for Raytheon.
And he has 5 children?
One. They got 3 in high school this year. There will be 3. And the one graduated last year. She's going to Stonehill College.
Oh, I heard that.
She's going there next Tuesday.
She's got a lot of scholarships.
She's there, yeah. She was on the honor roll. She was able to get scholarships.
Shut that off.